Good morning for those online, and good morning everyone in the building. As Emma has said, we're starting a new series today, which is all about the church. It's about what the church is supposed to be and what the church is called to do. It's one of my favourite subjects. We have to admit, don't we, that the church is flawed. There's lots of things wrong with the church, but actually the church is God's idea. It's God's plan to reach the whole world. And it's God's family here on earth. And I feel it's a real privilege for myself to be a leader, a pastor of such an amazing church. Because I think we are an amazing church. God has brought this family in Buckskin together, and I love it. And Rick Warren said, the purpose of the church, he says this, God created the church to meet your five deepest needs. Did you know that? A purpose to live for. A people to live with, principles to live by, a profession to live out, and power to live on. That's powerful stuff, isn't it? And it says this, there is no other place on earth where you can find all five of these benefits in one place. It's amazing that God has put the church together. And this series is an encouragement to us as a church to remind us of what God has called us to be. Because it's a long time since we've gathered. And for some of us, we haven't gathered with other people for over a year. And we as elders want to remind you of what God has called us to be and what God has called you to be part of. So we're going to do 5 weeks. The first week today is all about the fact that we are called to worship, to magnify God. We are called to be family. We are called to be disciples. We are called to serve. And we are called to share Jesus. And we are called to know, follow, and share. So we're going to spend actually 6 weeks looking at what the church is all about. But today I want to start with a quote. And I found this a very challenging quote. It's by a guy called Lord Ravenhill. And he says this, the church right now has more fashion than passion. It's more pathetic than prophetic. It's more superficial than supernatural. Ouch. That one hurts, doesn't it? And for me as a church leader, I think I don't want us to be like that at Buckskin. To have more fashion than passion. To be pathetic rather than prophetic. We want to be supernatural here in this church. And that is what this series is about. It is a call to us to be God's people. We're going to start by talking about worship. And if you know anything about anthropology, you'll know that wherever you are in the world, people are worshiping something. We are wired for worship. As whether you believe in God or not, you are still wired for worship. You think about it. You go and watch a football match. And what? Oh, yeah, we can't. Okay. Look, but you, if you used to go and watch a football match, you would see there's thousands of people. They are shouting and they are cheering. They are wanting their team to win. And it is an act of worship. You go to a rock concert. It's like an act of worship. You see, people will worship at the altar of things they love. It may be people, it may be things, it may be even an addiction they have. But worship has been expressed as, worship is expressing our love and gratitude to God. Worship is expressing our love and gratitude to God for who he is, what he's done, what he said, and what he has promised to do. So as God's people, that's what worship should be about. And it should be our primary calling. That's why we're starting with it today, that we are called to worship. Jesus said, love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Do you get that? How much of you should be worshiping God? All of us should be worshiping God with all our beings. Emotionally with our heart, spiritually with our soul, mentally with our mind, and physically with our strength. That's what we're called to do. And we are called to do that as individuals, but we are called to do that corporately as well. So when we see worship in the Bible. We see in the Old Testament that people would go to worship. They would go to the temple. They would go to the tabernacle and they would come before God in worship. And we see that in Psalms. It's time and time again, it's the psalm of ascent to go up and worship God. It says in Psalm 150, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. And it just goes on and on. It talks about worshiping God for what he has done, but also for who he is. Worship should be a celebration. We should engage with worship in such a way that it changes us emotionally. We see that in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. Just read the book of Acts. The amount of times that people gathered. Why did they gather? Because they wanted to worship God. So I'm going to try and answer a question this morning. What does worship involve as God's people? What does it involve for us as a church? And there are four things you heard me right, that I want to say this morning. I'm not going to take a long time over it, because actually what I want us to do is in the middle, I want us to stop and worship. The first thing I want to say is worship is about expressing our love for God. And I've already said that, haven't I? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. What we're doing is we are expressing our love to God. Because you see, Christianity isn't about a set of rules, is it? It isn't about, well, as long as I believe all this stuff, then I'm a Christian. Christianity is a relationship with God. And it's a relationship that involves emotions. And we should be emotionally connected to God. I love the Greek word proskuneo, which means come near to kiss. Okay? You come near to kiss. Now, some of us, we haven't been able to do much of that, have we, recently? We've seen our kids recently, no kissing allowed. Can't get that close. But actually what the Greek word means, actually coming close and embracing. I'm sure I do remember as a 10-year-old boy going to see my granny, who had a beard almost. And finding it one of the most terrifying things, having to kiss her. But you can't do it from a distance, can you? You have to get near, up close and personal. And that's what worship should be, up close and personal with God, with everything we have. We express our love for God because he first loved us. And so when we come close to God, we need to get this, because this is the wow factor. When we come close to God, guess what? God comes close to us. When we draw near to God, God draws near to us. And that's found in James. Isn't that an amazing truth? That in our worship, as we come before God, he's drawn by our worship. We experience his very presence. Wow. Wow. Because it's a relationship with God. And when we come near to God, he comes near to us. That is what worship can do for you and for me. And as a congregation, when we come near to God together, we draw the very presence and the power of God. His Holy Spirit is felt amongst us. So we express our love. The second thing I want to say is that when we come together, worship should involve acknowledging God's greatness. It says in Psalm 95, verses 1 to 3, it says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. Let us come down, Psalm 95, verse 6 says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. And there's a picture of just bowing down. And again, the Hebrew word shaka means literally to bow down before God. And in doing so, we acknowledge that he is so much greater than we are. that we are nothing before this God who has created all things. He has created this amazing universe, which means he's bigger than the universe because he's made it. And we, in worship, we need to come and acknowledge and bow down before who he is. Do we really do that as we come? Or have we become so casual in our worship, we just walk into his presence? Because actually, what we need to realize is he is awesome. And we need to acknowledge it. And as we do that in our worship, we will realize that we are less and that he is much greater than we are. I have a sense, and I was thinking about whether I should say this morning. There are a few things I might say that might upset you today. But I think for this last year that we've become so focused on the virus. Every piece of news is about what the virus is doing in this country, that country. What's the virus doing in the UK? How's it affecting people? And we watch those numbers, don't we, time and time again. And we've become obsessed, I believe, with what's happening in our society and what the virus is doing. And what I feel for some of us is actually we have lost focus on the God that we worship. God is so much greater than any virus that's running through our world. And we have lost sight of that. And we've become worried. We've become anxious. We are so concerned. But surely our faith and trust is in God. And we think about what some of those early Christians went through. And they didn't stop meeting together. They didn't stop worshiping God. You see, they fixed their eyes, as Hebrews says, they fixed their eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. We need to fix our eyes on God. And when we come together as God's people, we need to acknowledge that we are nothing and he is so much greater than we are. John the Baptist had it right, and he said, when he said, he must become more important and I must become less. And that's the way it should be. And so we need to acknowledge the greatness of our God. But you see, when we do, then our faith is lifted. Our faith is lifted. And when we think about what's happening in the world around us, we can truly hold on to God because we know him and we can trust him. Let's stop, shall we? Let's take a moment, firstly. Let's take a moment just to express our love to God. Let's just say, Lord, I do love you for what you've done for me. Let's draw near to our God so he can draw near to us. And let's just acknowledge who he is. Because maybe for some of us, our faith has started to wane. I'm going to ask the guys just to lead us in two songs, quietly sing before our God about who he is and what he's done for us. Let's do that.
Love comes.
Father, we thank you that we've been able to worship this morning. We thank you that we, as we've drawn near to you, you have drawn near to us. We thank you, Father, for the way you have touched our hearts. We thank you that we've been able to acknowledge your greatness as we've bowed before you. And Lord, we pray that each one of us might learn to be true worshippers of you. Amen. I'm going to keep preaching, unfortunately. You've got another 10 minutes of me because there's two more things I want to say. I've promised you four things. We've done two, which is to express our love, to acknowledge God's greatness. But the third thing is about gathering together. Gathering together. And we see that both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And we see it when we get to heaven, right? Because that'll be the biggest gathering going, won't it? When we gather to worship God in heaven together. Somebody said, I can safely say on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God that any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. Because it's going to happen in heaven. But God has called us to gather as his people to worship together. I watched some stuff from Saddleback, and Rick Warren said this, and I had a discussion with the elders, and I think I upset them the other night, because Rick Warren said, watching worship is not worship. Watching worship is not worship. And he was talking about the fact that it's very easy, and this may upset some more people, but to be sat at home watching other people worship. And that is not worship. It can be worship. But so often, and I know I have been guilty of this, as we are sat there at home, maybe we decide, I just need to walk out of the room and get myself a cup of tea. I just need to check what's going on eBay. And we have our phones or tablets, and we are so distracted when we are supposed to be worshiping God. And we can have it on the screen, but not actually engage. But the same is true. We can come to church and not actually engage. But God calls us to gather together so that we might worship him. It says in Hebrews, it says, do not give up meeting together as some are in a habit of doing. I want to say the danger of lockdown has been is that we are not gathering for worship, and we have become so lax when it comes to church. It's become a bit like our shopping, isn't it? We can sit there and think, well, do I want to go to the shops today, or do I want to pick up my iPad and do my Sainsbury shop at home? And the truth is, it's so much easier to stay at home, isn't it? You don't have to meet all those people. You can just sit it. And I think for me, what's happening is that we as church have become so used to sat at home with tablets in front of us, taking TV screen on, and to be watching worship and not to be gathering. And I'm very disappointed. I have to tell you this, church. Today, we could have had 45 people in this building, and today we have 25. We have space for so many more, but people are saying, well, actually, you know, I'm not really happy to go to church at the moment. And I would challenge you, why not? Because you're going shopping and you're doing other things with your life, but you are choosing not to gather with God's people and you are missing out on so much. And I'm not talking to you guys who are here because it's lovely to see you, but for people at home, I just want to challenge you, because are you choosing not to come and worship? Because if you are, you are missing out on so much. So much. Jesus said, when two or three gather it together in my name, I am in the midst. And you could say, well, the Lord's with me at home. But there's another dimension when God's people gather together. And it's so easy to say, well, I won't come at the moment because I don't feel safe. And I haven't had my second vaccine and so on and so on. But surely when it comes to worship, we should desire to be in the presence of God. And I know you can be in the presence of God at home, but there is so much more when God's people gather together. And I would say to you, really think about coming and back to church. and being in the building with others. It says in Hebrews 10, it says about, you know, actually, let's not give up meeting. Why? But let us encourage one another. It's very difficult to do that on a screen at home, but you can do it here with others. D.L. Moody, I love this. He says, and we were going back a few years here, it says, the difference between listening to a radio sermon and going to church is almost like the difference between calling your girl on the phone and spending an evening with her. So true. Some of you might not remember using a phone, of course, because that was a long time ago, but it's the difference of presence, isn't it? I just want church, you know, I just think we miss out so much when you are not here and you choose not to be here. And I think for some, church has become a convenience. I'll do it when I feel ready. But that's not what the scripture says. It says, come and be part of what God is doing. Come and be with his people, to praise God with them. Because as I said, the Bible is full of gatherings, and the ultimate will be when we're in heaven together. I want to say the last thing, I will finish with this. The last thing is about offering sacrifices. We are called together, and we are called to come and offer sacrifices. I'm doing the Bible through the year, and if you ever read the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, there's a lot of stuff in there that's really hard going. Lots of curses and blessings at the moment in Deuteronomy. But what struck me the other day was this. It talks about the fact that three times a year, the Jews were called to go and worship God. The Feast of the Passover, the Feast of the Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. They should appear before God in Jerusalem. And it says this in Deuteronomy 16. It says this, no man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. It says each person needs to turn up with something to give to God. That's Old Testament, I know. So how do we apply that today? Well, we go to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It said, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see, God is expecting something from you. He wants your worship, but he wants more than that. He wants more than words. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants you to surrender your life to him and all that God has given you. Because when you start to list it, there's quite a lot of stuff God has given you. And God is looking for you to give it to him. It says in Romans 12, verses we know so well, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Have you done that? Have you truly done that? Have you given your life to God? Because this is your holy and pleased, this is holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. God likes to have your money. But most of all, he wants your life and your heart. We need to surrender ourselves to God in worship. I read this morning. It says this, surrender is a battle term. It implies giving up all rights to the conqueror. When an opposing army surrenders, they lay down their arms and the winners take control from then on. Surrendering to God works the same way. We give ourselves and all that we have to God. Wow. Because worship is about sacrifice. You know, and the problem we have for some of us is, you know, if I give it all to God, what's God going to do with it? I'm going to lose out, aren't I? No, you're not. You just need to read Malachi chapter 3, where it talks about that God is going to bless those who give and bless them abundantly more. If we do a cost-benefit analysis, And I'm sure some of us done this. I remember when we moved house, we had to decide, did we want to move to a different house? And we had to sit down and work out how much the mortgage would cost and, you know, what were we getting for our money and could we afford to move and so on and so. And you sit down and you have your columns of yes and what's it going to cost and what's the benefits going to be. We did move house and the benefits have been great. And I want to say the truth of God, we don't miss out when we sacrifice to God. We just receive much, so much more. But it's a risk, isn't it? If I give this up, what's going to happen to it? Well, God's going to take it from you. And God's going to do something amazing with it. Just think of that little boy and his five loaves and his two fish. You know what kids are like with food? Oh, keep it, keep it. But he gave it away. And what happened to it? Everybody got so much more, including him. Worship involves sacrifice. It involves giving ourselves, giving our praise, giving our tithes. But we will never miss out if we sacrifice to God. It's part of our worship. What kind of worship is God looking for from us as his people? He is looking for wholehearted worship. And there was one man in the Old Testament, his name was Hezekiah. And he was someone who worshipped God wholeheartedly. And God richly blessed him. There were other worshippers. If we read the book of Isaiah 29, it says this. These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up of only of rules taught by men. If we were to analyze our worship, are we someone who gives God just lip service? Or are we someone who is wholeheartedly in love with God, giving ourselves to God? Because when we worship in that way, we will be changed, but our church will be changed too. That man, Lord Ravenhill, who was a bit negative at the beginning, he also said this. I'd rather have 10 people that want God than 10,000 people who want to play church. We need to be people who really want to worship God. And we will make such a difference when we do. It will change us. But it will change our community. Let's pray together, shall we? Today, God is looking for a people who will commit themselves to him wholeheartedly. May this today be our spiritual act of worship. Father, we just thank you for the wonder and the privilege of being able to worship you, to come into your very presence and express our love to you, to acknowledge your greatness, to gather with others, and to offer you ourselves. And I pray that our worship, Lord, would be acceptable to you. That it will come from pure hearts. It will come from active minds. But will be with all our heart and strength. Lord, accept our worship. Take us. Bless us. Fill us with your spirit and make us true worshippers today. In Jesus' name.